Okay, welcome everybody to our unfortunately annual Tisha B'Av Shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Last year we didn't have it because of COVID, but we've been doing this for a number of years already, which means that we're still in Galus and Mashiach has not come and the Geula has not come. I thank everybody for joining in person and via Zoom as well. Today's shiur is generously sponsored by the Metzger family, commemorating the second Yahrzeit of Pearl Brown, Alaha Hashala and Pearl Bas Yosef. May her neshama have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share. I feel a personal connection because one of my closest friends was Pearl Brown's sister-in-law, correct? My close friend Sharon Fogel, her husband Asher Lavasham, Pearl was his sister. So I feel a personal connection to the shiur dedication. May the neshama of Pearl Bas Yosef merit an aliyah in the schus of the Torah that we will share, and we thank the Metzger family very much for their sponsorship. I also remember on this day, always, my grandparents' first children. They were murdered by the Nazis. My maternal grandfather's first daughter, Devorah Bas Yitzchak, I don't know the mother's name. My maternal grandmother's first daughter, Rivka Bracha Bas Bela Tziro. My paternal grandfather's three children, Golda, Leah, and Ita, Bas Simcha, Aryeh, Hashem, Yinkom, Damam. May the Kedoshim, all merit a Zechira Latova, on this mournful Yom Hamar Vahanimhar. I also must thank my in-laws for joining all the way from Brooklyn, not only on Zoom, but they came in person to attend this year. My husband and my daughter are here, and my aunt from Toronto on Zoom as well. So in Megillas Eicha we read, Sila kol abirai Hashem bikirbi, kara alai moed lishbar bachurai, gas darach Hashem livsulas bas Yehuda. The Lord has trampled all my mighty men in my midst. He summoned an assembly against me to crush my young men. Hashem has trodden as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Yehuda. Al Ela anibochia, over these I cry, Eini, Eini, Yarda Mayim, my eye runs with tear, Kirachak mi meni meshiv nafshi, because the restorer of my stall is far from me, there is no one to comfort me. Hayu banai shomemim ki gavar oyev, my sons are desolate, for the enemy has prevailed. I want to thank you publicly. I don't know his name, I'm so sorry. What's his name?
Alvin.
Alvin? Yeah. I want to thank you very much publicly for working so hard to set up for our lecture. And in Perek Beis we read, Kumi Roni Balaila Larosh Ashmuros, arise, cry out at night at the beginning of the watches. Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem, pour out your heart like water before Hashem. Si'i Elav Kapayich Al Nefesh Olalayich. Lift up your hands and pray for the lives of the infants, ha'atufim bira'av, birosh kochutzos, who faint with hunger at the head of every street. What we read in Eicha and what we lament in the Kinos has come to fruition so many times in our national history. Re'e Hashem ve'abita, lemi olaltako, look Hashem and see to who you have done this. Im tochalna nashim piriam, olalei tupuchim. There's a whole kinah, I just read it this morning, about women eating and consuming the flesh of your children. Im yahareg b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi. Will priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord. Amegilas Eicha and the kinos are full of lamentations of destruction, of killing, of murder, of torture, of exile, of trauma that our people have faced throughout the generations. And yet something is incredible. What's incredible is that we are here and we have survived all of the Khorban, all of the Galus, all of the persecution, all of the Shas Hashmad. And despite all the travails and the exiles and the wanderings, we are here. There's an expression, Am Yisrael Chai. And it defies the laws of nature. And it defies the laws of humanity. And it defies the laws of civilization. That Am Yisrael is remarkably still here. There is such a famous story told about Napoleon Rav Soloveitchik tells it over. I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Zev Lev before Shabbos. Rabbi Zev Lev tells it over. And Napoleon was in the streets of France, and he came to a synagogue, and it was dark, and there was only one candle. The Jews were sitting on the floor, and they were crying. So he asked his commanders, why are they crying? So they said, oh, they're crying over the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed. So Rabbi Zev Lev embellished it a little. It sounded a little better. So he went and he checked with his security advisors, and he says, was there a temple in Jerusalem that was just destroyed? So they said, no, there was no destruction in Jerusalem. So he went back to the synagogue, and he said, you could get up. It was a false report. Nothing was destroyed. You have no reason to cry. This is how Rabbi Lev told it over. So they said, no, no, you don't understand. We're crying because the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem 1,800 years ago, not today. Rav also tells us over. So Napoleon said famously, a nation that cries over a temple that was destroyed millennia ago will live to see the temple rebuilt. Of the Jew, Mark Twain famously wrote, Mark Twain was a pen named Samuel Longhorn Clemens. He was born in 1835 and died in 1910. Of the Jew, Mark Twain famously wrote, he made a marvelous fight in this world, in all the ages, and he has done so with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself, and he could be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed. They made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out. And they sit in the twilight now, or they have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and now is what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal. But the Jew, all other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And today I want to focus my shiur on the concept of gevura. What is gevura? What is the secret of our survival? Does it mean ozer Yisrael begevura and to live a life of courage? I'm going to quote like I usually do in my ninth av shiur. From my grandfather's memoirs. My grandfather Yitzchak ben Moshe Alav Hashem left us some memoirs. It's called In Seven Camps in 3 Years. He was from the town of Krasnik in Poland. The Nazis came very quickly to Poland and to the town. And he writes, I'm skipping the beginning, I got married at the end of 1939. So the Germans invaded in the beginning of September 1st, 39. My grandfather got married a few months later. I got married at the end of 1939. In the winter of 1941, marked by the weekly Torah reading of Bishalach, my wife gave birth to a daughter. We named her Devorah, according to the Haftorah of Parshas Bishalach, Shiras Devorah. However, with each day, the situation became worse and worse until the most appalling day arrived. A certain Sunday, one day after Pesach, in the year 1942, the great catastrophe began. I remember everything, my grandfather writes, as if it just happened. All that I hear set down in writing, I have seen with my own eyes. About noon, shooting broke out in the streets. A placard was displayed that all Jews, men, women, and children, must be present in the marketplace by 2 o'clock. Whoever will be found later in the houses will be shot. I hid several Jews, as well as my father, in our house. Risking my life, I lay on the floor and witnessed the entire hell that occurred in the city's streets to half the city's Jewish residents. Jews were running from every street, women with children. The villainous Germans photographed this horrendous scene, and our neighbors of 1,000 years, the anti-Semitic Poles, stood in the street delighting in our overwhelming misfortune. 4 hours later, I saw a picture which is forever present in my memory, a lineup of 2,000 Jews, men, women, and children, all of whom I knew personally. I remember one young man, he was a student in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He stood beside Yaakov Mendelis and cradled his newborn child in his arms, quieting the child's crying. Just then it began to rain, and the cries of the child were heart-rending, but no one was able to help. I saw a boy who was familiar to me, Moishi, who from birth was a cripple, and the renowned Dr. Soloveitchik from Warsaw healed him and straightened his leg so he could walk with the help of a cane. And then in the chaos, a hateful SS man aimed his rifle at Moishi, who could not follow the column quickly enough. I heard one of the murderers came out of the house of Rav Peretz Shoichet, and he asked the superior, "What should we do with a man who is laying in bed? Make him well," was the significant answer. I immediately heard a shot. The next day I saw him in bed. He had been shot in the throat. Everything that we read in the Kinas, everything that we read in Megillas Eicha, has come to a climax many a time in our history. What I want to focus on from this passage from my grandfather is not the cries of the child that no one could quiet, not Moishi from Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and there was no one to answer his child, not the cripple. It was written in Yiddish, and my mother had it professionally translated for us, whose leg was straightened so he could walk with a cane, but who could not keep up quickly with the column, so he was shot. And I don't want to talk about the villainous Poles, our neighbors of 1,000 years, who stood by and laughed at our great misfortune. Koro Eha Bagduba Hayula Le'ovim, all those we thought were our friends, committed treason against us. They became our enemies. And I don't want to talk about the Shoichet of the town who could not get out of bed for the lineup and the deportation, so he was shot in his throat in his bed. What I want to talk about is that the fact that all Jews had to be in the town square at 2 o'clock, and whoever would be found later in their homes would be shot. And my own grandfather, who is just a regular person, writes, "I hid several Jews, as well as my father, in our house. Risking my life, I lay on the floor, and I witnessed the entire hell that occurred at that time to Jewish residents of the city." What is courage? What is gevura? What does it mean to live with the courage of a Jew and sometimes to die with the courage of a Jew? I'm quoting from a book called Heroes of Faith, Rabbinic Tales of the Holocaust. In the chaotic days and weeks after the end of the war, a group of young men who had survived the ghettos and labor camps found themselves in the Hungarian capital of Budapest. Another survivor of the German oppression, the Vizhnitsa Rebbe of Chaim Meir Hager Zatzal, happened to be in Budapest at the time. He provided solace to the grief-stricken survivors. There was a group of young men with a nagging concern who felt that they must see and talk to the Vizhnitsa Rebbe. The moment the Rebbe laid eyes on them, he knew their concern was different than all others. The leader of the group, the spokesman, began to speak to the Vizhnitsa Rebbe, and this is what he said: "Rebbe, we need to do teshuvah. For the past few years, we were eating non-kosher food, and wherever we could find it, in the soup kitchens, or the meager rations we received in the camps. To be sure, they were never large portions. We ate barely enough to stem the tide of hunger in our grumbling stomachs." We read that in Eicha: "Better is death by sword than death by hunger." "Nevertheless, we feel as if our neshamos, our souls, have been tainted on the not kosher food." The spokesman paused and he looked around at his friends. And he said to the Rebbe, "Should we have resisted? Should we have starved ourselves? Perhaps. But the temptation of the hot meal caused us to lower our standards. Rebbe, tell us, what teshuva must we do to remove the traces of tray food and restore our neshamos to purity?" The Vizhnitsa Rebbe listened in stunned silence. Immediately, his face began to change colors, first white, then crimson and pink from emotion. He jumped out of his seat. He began pacing the room. He ran from one end of the room to the other. The young men were not prepared. Suddenly the Rebbe stopped and he burst into tears. He took the spokesman's two hands in his own and he cried. Minute after long minute went by and the Rebbe could not stop praying. And finally he began to speak. And this is what he said. What exactly do you want? Teshuva for eating in Gehenna? For not depriving yourselves more than you were already tortured? He looked directly into the man's eyes and into his soul. His eyes burned. Now listen to me good and well, for I'm about to tell you something very important. After 120 years, when you go up before the heavenly tribunal and they check your card to see if you have merit or guilt, a portion of your card will light up bright as the sun. That will be the portion relating to the non-kosher food that you ate those years in the camps, when you were forced to eat from soup kitchens, camp kitchens, no kitchens at all. The portion of the card will suddenly become illuminated. Those words that you ate not kosher will shine so brightly, you will not even be able to gaze at them. The young men were listening with rapt attention. The Vishnitzer Rebbe painted a vivid portrait of what lies in the next world. My dear souls, said the Rebbe to the pained and broken group of young men, when life is normal and the world is under control, it is almost impossible for a human being to protect himself entirely from eating forbidden food. Even the most careful individual is not perfect. However, during days of destruction, like we all just lived through, not only was it permissible to eat what you ate, it was a commandment, a mitzvah of the highest order. It was, without the slightest doubt of the mind, an absolute obligation to eat non-kosher to stay alive. Eating chazer treif, even the flesh of a swine, in the ghettos and the camps, was as holy as eating a kezias of the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, maybe even holier. Once again, the Rebbe broke down in tears and he said, how I envy you, such holy and righteous men like yourselves. Halavai, halavai, my share in Gan Eden should be like yours, on account of the reward you will receive for eating not kosher food during the war, halavai. There's really a paradox. Sometimes the Jew must live al kiddush Hashem, and that includes seemingly transgressing the mitzvos. And sometimes a Jew dies al kiddush Hashem by not transgressing the mitzvos. So what's gevura? Is it living al kiddush Hashem? And sometimes that includes transgressing mitzvos. Is it dying al kiddush Hashem and not transgressing the mitzvos? In Kinah Chof Aleph, Kinah 21, the Paitan describes the martyrdom of the Asarah Harugai Malchus, we read it this morning, the 10 sages who were martyred by the Romans in the middle of the 2nd century Common Era. The Kinah was composed by Rabbi Meir ben Yechiel, an Ashkenazic rabbi of the early 13th century. Rav Soloveitchik teaches, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Zatzal, the Rav teaches, the brutal execution of the Asar Haru, I see I'm having trouble talking, I must pass. You could still understand what I'm saying despite my occasional The brutal execution of the 10 martyrs must be seen against the backdrop of Rome's policy toward the Jews at the time of the Churban, the destruction of the Second Temple, and thereafter. Initially, after the Churban, Rome did not institute any religious persecution, and why not? Rome thought, says the Rav, that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jewish people would assimilate into the general population. They would destroy the temple, it would be the end of Am Yisrael. How wrong they were. But the Bar Kokhba rebellion, however, they realized, even though they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish community remained loyal to God. They realized that the strength of the Jew was not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash. The cohesive force that unites Am Yisrael is Torah and mitzvos, and it makes us carry on under the worst of circumstances. and then a wave of persecution in the form of restrictive decrees inundated the Jewish community. And it was at that time that we have the first of the Hasara Hurugei Malchus. So if you read Kinuch of Aleph today, you read about the 10 martyrs who were murdered al Kiddush Hashem. So we have this paradox. Sometimes the Jew transgresses the mitzvos and lives. Sometimes the Jew is killed and gives up his life. So the Gemara tells us, I'm not going through the kino, we read it this morning, kino chaf alf, but the Gemara tells us about the death and the murder of Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Asar who gave Malchus. I just want to make sure everyone's muted. I muted them before, just sometimes people get through. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph Amud Beis. I have another share after this. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Pam Achas Gzeira Malchus HaRasha. One time, the Gzeiras Malchus HaRasha, the wicked government of Rome, made a Gzeira. They made a decree. Remember, the Rav's explanation, his commentary to the Kinos and Tisha B'Av. So the Rav says that initially the Romans did not come up with any persecution. They thought it was no problem. They'll destroy the temple. It'll be the end of Am Yisrael. They didn't know the secret to our survival, which is much deeper than a building of sticks and stones and gold and copper. We have a Torah Kedosha. V'charta b'chai m'man ticha ata v'zaracha acharacha. A temple can be destroyed, but Am Yisrael is eternal. So one time, says the Rav, in the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, Gzeira Malchus HaRasha Shalo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. So now they come up with a different plan, and that is the eradication of Torah learning. There will be no Torah learning. Ba Paplus Ben Yehuda Umatzo the Rabbi Akiva Shahayu Makil Rakihilos Rabbi. Oh my gosh, Hashem. Ba Paplus Ben Yehuda Umatzo the Rabbi Akiva Shahayu Makil Kihilos Berabim Vosek B'Torah. So Paplus Ben Yehuda comes, and he finds that Rabbi Akiva is taka gathering crowds and teaching them Torah. Remember the decree, you're not allowed to teach Torah. Amarlo Akiva. Papu says, Akiva, I atam misyarvim pnei machus, aren't you afraid of the Roman government? Amarlo. Again, this is the Gemara, which sheds light on the kina of the murder of Rabbi Akiva. Amarlo, so Rabbi Akiva said, Am shalach masha, I'm going to tell you a masha. Lamaha davar domer. To what is it compared? You ask me, Papu, if I'm afraid of the Romans, I'm going to give you a masha. The Sha'ul Shahaya Mahalech Agav Hanar. There was a fox walking by the side of the river. Vera'a Dagim. And the fox saw fish. Miskapsim mimakom lemakom. The fish are going in schools from place to place. Amar lahem mipnei ma atem borchim. So the fox said to the fish, who are you running away from? Amrulo. So the fish said to the fox, mipnei v'shoso shemivin aleinu bnei adam. Oh, they cast nets upon us, and we're trying to get away from the nets of the fishermen. Amar lahem mitzon chemsha ta'alu layabasha. So the fox said, I have a great idea to save you from the nets of the fishermen. Come up onto dry land. V'nadur ani v'atem. And me and you, be the fox and you the fish, will live together. K'shem shedaru avosayim avoseichem. Like my fathers lived with your fathers. Amru lo, the fish said, Atahu she'ami malacha pikech shebechayos. Are you the one that they say you're the slyest and wisest of all the animals? O pikeach ata, you fox are not wise. Ela tipesh ata, you're an idiot. Uma b'makum chiyoseinu, and if in the water, which is our natural environment of life, anu misyarin, we are afraid. B'makum misaseinu al achas kama v'kama. You want us to come out of the river to go on the shores with you? In the place of our death, how much more we will be afraid. The river gives us life. It's true, we have to flee from the nets of the fishermen, but we're going to come up on the shore. And to live with you, the fox, you'll eat us. Afa nachnu, so to us. Achshav shanu yoshvim v'oskim b'torah, said Rabbi Akiva, to Papa, so to us. We're sitting, and we're osik, we're involved in a life of learning and teaching Torah. Shakasu ba'al, but the Torah, it says, kihu chayecha v'orech yamecha. The Torah is the life and the length of our days. Kach im anu hochim umuvatim imena. You want us to jump out of the water? You want us to stop teaching Torah? You want us to be mevatel Torah? Al achas kama v'kama. How much more so will we be afraid for our lives? So Rabbi Akiva keeps teaching Torah. Amru. So they said, lo hayu yamim utim. It wasn't very long until what happened? Asha Tafsul, Rabbi Akiva. The Romans arrested Rabbi Akiva. The Chavashuhu Beveis HaAsur. And what did they do with him? They arrested him and they put him into prison. You're teaching Torah. The Romans come up with a decree. You're not allowed to teach Torah. This is in the aftermath of Churban Bayesheni. The persecution does not stop. It's not enough that they killed hundreds of thousands of Jews. It's not enough that they destroyed the temple. It's not enough we read in the Kinah about the 80,000 Kohanim that were slaughtered. It's not enough about the 400 boys and girls who were being taken to Rome for illicit purposes to go to Bezonos that jumped into the sea. In the aftermath of the Churban, they still persecute us. They now realize they have to take away Torah. If they don't take away the Torah, they will never destroy us. So Rabbi Akiva keeps teaching Torah. And he's captured. And he's put into prison. The Tafsu, the Papas Ben Yehuda, v'chavashu, etzo, Papas was also arrested for something else, not for teaching Torah. And he's also in prison. Amar lo, Papas, mihi v'yachal lakan. So Rabbi Akiva says, wow, my cellmate, Papas, how did you get here? Why are you here? Amar lo ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. He says, you know, Rabbi Akiva, you're lucky. You know why you're lucky? Shenit pasta al divrei Torah. You were at least arrested for teaching life-giving waters of Torah, continues the Gemara. Oy lo lepapas. Papa says about himself, woe unto me. Why? Shenit pasta al divrei b'teva. I was arrested for matters of shtus. At least if I'm going to be arrested by the Romans, let me be arrested for what gives us eternal life, like the fish who say we can never come out of water. That's the background to the murder of Kiddush Hashem of Rabbi Akiva. At the time they took Rabbi Akiva out for execution, Zman Kriya Shema Haya. It was a time to recite the Kriya Shema. Rabbeinu, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. It's a time for Kriya Shema, but they're not sitting in Bnei Brak anymore. They're going to the pyre of the Roman execution, of the guillotine, of the gas chambers, and it's time for the Kriya Shema. Hayusarkim es besar b'masrko shel barza. And they're scraping his flesh with iron combs. Hayimakaba alav oma chushamayim. Rabbi Akiva is accepting upon himself the mitzvah of Kriya Shema to be makaba oma chushamayim. Amalo Talmidov, and the Talmidim are watching. Salvejib describes in his commentary to the Kinos how the Nazis would take babies and they would throw them against the brick wall and the brain matter would drip down the wall in front of the mothers. And the Gemara says that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva are all there. How much he lived through in his life. First as a shepherd, as an ignoramus. Hi, Donna. Is there a chair for Donna? Is there a chair for Donna? You have a chair? Okay. What am I telling you? So the Gemara tells us that the Talmidim were there and they're watching. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. The grandfather writes in the beginning of his memoirs, as soon as the Germans arrived in Krasnik, the pain and subjugation of the Jewish population began. A few weeks after they took over the city, no one could go pray in the synagogue. If anyone wanted to pray with a minyan, a few elderly Jews gathered in a private residence and prayed. On a certain Shabbos, my grandfather was going to lead the service of Rav Peretz at the home of Rav Peretz Goldberg. May God avenge his blood. A German accosted me and he began to drag me to the marketplace. My grandfather was dressed in a silk Shabbos kapata with a talis and a chumash under my arm. I realized I should have changed my clothing. We were driven to the train station. We unloaded coal from the boxcars all day. I was so naive. What are they thinking, the Germans? Today is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We must say Halal. Where is he taking us? This was the first time I experienced working for the Germans, and first time I received the beating. But the hell had just begun. So Rabbi Akiva was saying the Kriya Shema. He was an ignoramus. His father not cut him off. He went to learn Torah. It was so hard. He almost gave up, but he saw the water and the rock, and if water can pierce a rock, Torah can pierce my heart. And he learned 12 years and another 12 years, and then all of his Talmidim died. And there's a pshat I first heard it from Rabbi Ari Pearl, the Jewish Center of Atlantic Beach, in the name of Soloveitchik. And when the Gemara says, "Mekne shelo nahagu kavod zelazer," it wasn't true. It was a shas hashmar. The Romans killed those 24,000 Talmidim, and he lost all 24,000 Talmidim, and he started all over again with five. And he dedicated his whole life to the Ribono Shel Olam. And in Kinuchof Aleph, we keen and we mourn, and we cry and we sit on the floor, because Zu Torah, Vizu Schara. This is Torah, and this is its reward. So they're scraping his flesh with iron combs, and he's saying, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu," and the students say, "Rabbeinu, seriously? Afkan? You still love God? You still love Him? You still want to be a servant?" Amar lahem, "Kol yamai hayisi mitzta'er al pasuk b'chol nafshecha." Rabbi Kiva said, "You know, my whole life I was concerned about a certain mitzvah I haven't been able to fulfill. B'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzirecha. Even if he takes her life. And my whole life I was worried, when will I fulfill this pasuk? If you're like me, I never really have so much tzar for when I'm going to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. But the great Rabbi Akiva was concerned. It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs, and I need to fulfill the mitzvah. B'chol nafshecha. Achshav shabal yadi. Now I have the opportunity to die like a Jew. Lo kayemena, I will not fulfill. Hayamarich be'echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Akinu Hashem Echad. Ad sheyatzesar nishmasu be'echad. Till the soul went out with Echad. A baskol came out and said, "Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, your soul went out with one." The angel said, "God, this is Torah, and this is its reward." God said, "Their portion is in the eternal world." Abaskol came out and said, "Rabbi Akiva, you are fortunate, you are ready for life in Olam Haba." There's a pasuk that we say every day, three times a day in Ashrei. It's from Tehillim 145, verse 12. Kof mem hei. What's the pshat of this pasuk? What does this pasuk mean? Say it every day, it's not a trick. So the pshat is to let it be known to man how great is God, and the glory and the honor of his kingdom. But the great rabbi, Dr. Abram J. Twersky, who said he really wrote one book on self-confidence 90 different ways, says a different pshat. The great Rabbi Dr. M.J. Twersky Zatzal says, let man know how great he is. Let it be known to man how great his gevura is. Capital H. Let man know how great his gevura is. Only then, ukvar hadar malchuso, can you recognize the glory and the awesomeness of God's kingdom. Every Jew is ingrained with a tremendous degree of gevura to be a Jew, to live like a Jew, and sometimes, rachmana litzlan, to die like a Jew. What is gevura? So the whole impetus for the shir, the whole springboard for the shir, was one sentence that I heard from Rabbi Zev Leff in a three-hour shir commentary to the Kinnas. I didn't listen to the whole 3 hours at once. Over a period of fast walks, I listened to this 3 hours from a number of years ago, Rabbi Zev Leff from Moshav Matityahu. There's a program in Yerushalayim this coming Sukkot, and one of the speakers is Rabbi Zev Leff. It's been advertised in Mishpacha for a few weeks. I showed it to my daughter yesterday, and I told her the praise per couple. So she said, "Perfect, we could be the couple, me and you." She says, "Mommy, it's your dream come true." I said, "I need to find out how many times he's speaking. What if he's only speaking one time over the whole circus?" Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a dream. So I heard one line in this 3-hour shiur by Rabbi Zav Rav Shlita. It was so impactful to me. Is Gevura eating treif, surviving, contradicting Losavasha Gadi Bechelev Imo, contradicting Chazir is Chazir treif, we don't touch it? Or is Gevura dying like a Jew, like Rabbi Akiva? Which is it? Is it to live or is it to die? Rabbi Zev Lev said something so piercing. It was the impetus and the springboard for this whole shiur. Listen carefully. I told it to you after, I don't know, remember what I said. Gevura is, listen carefully, when they want us to live like a goy, it's a mitzvah to die like a Jew. But when they want us to die like a Jew, it's a mitzvah to live. And he didn't say like a goy, but I'm just going to add that in. Listen again. If you take one thing out of the shiur, remember this. When they want us to live like a goy, no more Torah, come out of the water, live with the fox. When they want us to live like a goy, it's a mitzvah to die like a Jew. We read in the kinnus this morning about the brother and the sister. I don't remember which kinna it is. The children of the Kohen Gadol, who were in two separate rooms, and the captors had a whole conversation. I have a beautiful virgin who I've taken from Jerusalem. And his friend said, I have a beautiful strapping young lad who I've taken from Jerusalem. So they came up with a great idea. Let's breed them. And we'll share the offspring. They will be so beautiful. So they put this young boy and this young girl in the room together and they figure inevitably what will happen. And he stood in the corner and he cried, I am a grandson of Aaron, a Kohen. How could I be with a slave woman? And she stood in the corner and she cried and she said, how, with my illustrious yichus, could I be with this strange man? And when the morning sun rose through a crack in the window, they saw that they were siblings. And they fell upon each other's necks. We just read in the kiddush this morning. And they fell upon each other's necks and they cried and they cried and they cried until their souls left them. What's Gevura? Is it to live and transgress? Or is it to die al Kiddush Hashem? Well, it depends. And they want us to live like a goy, to give up everything we hold dear, to give up Torah, to give up tefillah, to give up mitzvahs, to live like a goy, assimilate, be like us. No Shabbos, no Rosh Chodesh, no Mila, said the Greeks. And it's a mitzvah to die like a Jew. But when they want us to die like a Jew, it's a mitzvah to live. Even if it means a yotzim in a klal, sometimes you act like a goy. Do we have to do teshuva because we ate chazer treif? It's a mitzvah you ate chazer treif. You're going to go to the highest place in Gan Eden. I want to be with you. Because when they want us to die like a Jew, it's a mitzvah to live, and sometimes that means to live like a goy. There was just an attack a couple weeks ago on a Chabad rabbi in Boston. Anti-Semitic attack. The rabbi is 41 years old. His name is Rabbi Shlomo Naginsky. When he was very young, his family made Aliyah from Moscow. His mother insisted that he learn martial arts because of an anti-Semitic attack he once had in Russia as a child, and he said that eventually saved his life and the lives of all the children in the Chabad camp 3 decades later. So I'm just quoting a short piece. Aware that the only man standing between the crazed attacker and 100 children and staff members in the camp behind him, Rabbi Naginsky deployed his best judo skills to warn off the attacker. But the knife man seemed unstoppable. For as much as 10 minutes, he kept at him. He was not armed, the rabbi, and he had no one to help him. He says he even ran into the street. Everyone saw what was happening and they all ran away. Nobody would come help him. He did not leave me alone for a second. He kept on trying to stab here, stab there, stab my back, stab my hand, stab my stomach. He didn't stop for a second. During the entire time Rabbi Naginsky sat, he's a 41-year-old man. He kept the story of a previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson Zatzal, at the forefront of his mind. The Rebbe was called in by the Soviets, feared NKVD, over his activities to spread Yiddishkeit. Seeing he was getting nowhere with this Lubavitcher Rebbe, the officer withdrew a gun, and he said to Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson Zatzal, "This toy has made others talk." "This toy," said the Rebbe, pointing to his chest, "has power over someone with many gods and one world. I have only one God and two worlds, and I am not afraid of your toy." "This story I grew up on," says Rabbi Naginsky, "ever since I arrived in Eretz Yisrael as a young boy from Russia. And that is what gave me the strength and the bitachon to get through that ordeal." There are some people who know everything, but when the moment of truth comes, they forget it all. This story immediately came to me and stayed with me the whole time the stabbing was ongoing. And they want us to live like a goy and give up everything we hold dear. When they want us to stop teaching Torah, so Rabbi Akiva to Papus, how could I stop teaching Torah? What will I have? Then it's a mitzvah, b'chol nafshecha, afilu notel, es nishmasacha. When they want us to die like a Jew, it's a mitzvah to fight and live, even if sometimes it means eating chazar treif and living like a goy. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there is one central theme stressed in the kinos about the Crusades, and that is the suicide and murder committed by the Jews in an effort to martyr themselves in the sanctification of God's name. The Crusaders used to drag the Jews, again, this is commentary of the Rav to the kinos. You recite kinos for the Jews killed in Germany, Worms, Maine, Spire, the Jews who were slaughtered by the Crusaders as they rampaged through the Jewish towns to liberate Jerusalem. The Crusaders used to drag the Jews into the church and baptize them by force. Knowing this, the Jews did not wait for the enemy to come kill them. They went ahead and first killed the children, then they killed one another, and they killed themselves. They knew that if the enemy seized them, they would be tortured. Chazal say, under such circumstances, if one will fall into the hands of one's enemies, one is allowed to kill one's children and commit suicide. I'm quoting from Barav. There's no piskei halacha at all to be taken from this shir. Secondly, they did not trust themselves and feared under torture they would not be able to withstand forced conversion. And they want us, Rabbi Zablav, to live like a goy. Then you have nothing to live for in this world. If you're not living a life of Torah and mitzvot, if you're not living Kiddush Hashem, then that's when you die Kiddush Hashem. And there's nothing to live for because Am Yisrael depends on living like a Jew. And they want us to live like a goy. You remember that there are two worlds, one God and two worlds. They did not trust themselves and they feared under torture, the Jews in the times of the Crusades 1,000 years ago, they would not be able to withstand forced conversion. After all, it was a very simple offer, kiss the cross, bow down before the crucifix, accept baptism, and you will live. Before the Crusaders killed the Jews, they always offered them the chance to convert to Christianity. That is all. And the Jews were not sure if they could withstand this pressure. They killed one another and then themselves to avoid the temptation of living a Christian life. And so when the Crusaders arrived in many a shul, says the Rav, they found no one alive. Because when they want us to live like a goy, it's a mitzvah to die like a Jew, says the Rav. We should never be tested. The Ashkenazic response to literature, continues the Rav, discusses people who were afraid their babies or children would be baptized and forced to join the Catholic Church. So they killed their children before they killed themselves. Perhaps this is one of the pshatim. There's a whole kina and women eating their children. Did you lament it this morning? Did you say it as you sat on the floor? It's unbelievable, Kim. The women say, today we'll kill mine and eat my child, and tomorrow we'll eat yours and eat your child. It's so inconceivable. And yet, it happened. Maybe this is one way to understand that kina. To all of us here, it's so inconceivable. It's complete science fiction. It's complete impossible, but it's written. And even the Torah and the Kabbalah writes it, that the woman ate their children. Maybe this shot of the Rav is one explanation. They knew that the children would be taken to Christian homes. They thought perhaps they couldn't resist. They would be forced to live like goyim. So they did the most horrific thing possible, which is to kill their own children. The Rav says one of the leading Ashkenazic rabbinic authorities tells the story of a pious man. He writes, a chassid echad. Listen carefully. He was faced with the crusaders approaching his house. So he killed his wife, the Rav writes us, and his three children. And he was about to kill himself, but suddenly the soldiers came and drove the crusaders away from the town. And they never came to his house. So he survived, says the Rav, after he killed his wife and his children. So he wrote to one of the leading Ashkenazic rabbinic authorities, and he wanted to know, do I have to do teshuvah for killing my wife and my children? Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Hilchos Berkas HaShachar Ashar Brachos Ubav Ubo Tet Si'ifim Simen Mem Vav Si'if Av. When you wake up from your sleep, you should say alo kai neshama. When you hear the rooster, or maybe today we would say the alarm clock crowing. I don't know if anyone here hears the rooster. Yivarech hanosein lesech vivina. Kishelo veish, yivarech malbish arumim. Kishayaniach yado al enav, yivarech pokeach ivrim. When you put your hand over your eyes, you should say, God give sight to the blind. When you're able to sit up from your bed, you say, God releases the band. When you're able to sit up, stand up straight, bless God who gave you the ability to stand upright. When you're able to put your feet on the ground, you know, I would venture to say that for those of us who are Baruch Hashem healthy, when you pop off the bed, you don't think too much about all the steps of God's grand anatomy of the human body and the gift of being able to just get off the bed in the morning. And when you're able to put your feet on the ground, you should say, Roka ha'aretz al hamayim. Kishano al min alav, when you put on your feet, Yivrech shasali kol tzarki, you make the blessing God has provided for me, all my needs. Kishaholeich yivrech hameichim mitzadei gavra, when you're able to walk, not just to get off the bed, walk, you should say, God prepares the feet of the steps of man. When you gird yourself with your belt, Yivarech Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. Blessed is God who girds Israel with strength. And you put your kover, your mitznefes on, you say, Oter Yisrael B'sifara. And then you finally made it to the bathroom, all the steps that we take for granted. And you wash Netilas Yadayim, and you should make a bracha of Netilas Yadayim. And you wash your face Hamav Yashena. So that's what the Yosef Kara writes, based on the Gemara. When you're cholger, you're chaguro. You say, Ozer Yishal Bukvur, when you gird yourself with strength for the day, you bless God who has girded Israel with strength. What is Gevura? And I want to take away, today's Tisha B'Av. It's the day we commemorate every calamity, every tragedy, every persecution. In the beginning of time, our B.S. God said that it should be immediately in our days. What does it mean? Ask yourself what it means, Ozer Yishal B'Gvura. Ask yourself what it means to live a life of courage. Ask yourself what it means to sacrifice for the precepts and the mitzvos. Ki heim chayinu v'aruch yameinu. That our avos and imachos, our forefathers and foremothers, our grandparents and great-grandparents, we're ready to live for at all costs. and at times die for at all costs. Ask yourself what is the theme of the kinos. It's not only the persecution, it's the courage of generations of Jews who came before us. Because what's the secret to our survival? What's gevurah? That's gevurah. I'm finishing up. I have to get to my next share anyway, and I see the time. You know you're tired and hungry as well. And they want us to die like a Jew. We go to all costs. It's a mitzvah to live. Sometimes it means living like a goy. But when they want us to live like a goy, you must remember then, Rachmana Litzlan, that's not a life. And so said Rabbi Akiva, it's a mitzvah to die like a Jew. Skeini mishar shavsu bachurim min ginasam. There are no more elders sitting in our gates. There are no more young men playing their music. Shavat misos libenu. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Ne'apach ve'evel mecholenu. Our dances have turned into avelus. Nafla ateres roshenu. Oina lanu kichatanu. The crown, the glory of our head has fallen. Woe unto us, we have sinned. Azeha yadava libenu. Over this our hearts are faint. Al Eila Chashchu Einenu, over this our eyes are darkened. Al Hartzion Sheshamim Shu'alam Hilchuhu. The Mount of Zion lays desolate. Even today foxes prowl there. Ata Hashem Le'olam Teshev. But you, God, are forever. Kisach L'dor V'dor. Your throne is eternal. Lama L'Netzach Tishkechenu Ta'azvenu L'orach Yamim. Forever do you leave us? Do you forget about us eternally? Look, God, at the Mesiras Nefesh of our ancestors, of our grandparents, of our great-grandparents, and their grandparents, to sacrifice both in life and in death to be a Jew. Lama l'netzach tishkechenu. Only on Tisha B'Av, says the Rav, do we have permission to ask God questions? The whole rest of the year, a Jew is not allowed to ask. And if Ram Avinu asked questions, says the Rav, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. But on Tisha B'Av, we have unique permission. The whole day is symbolizing a question. Eicha. Look at your people. Look at our pain, our travail, our suffering, our tears. And on Tisha B'Av we say, Lama l'netzach tishkechenu. We challenge you, God. Ta'azvenu l'orach yamin. There haven't been enough babies against the wall with brain dripping. Yeah. There haven't been enough Fogel family massacres. It's not enough in Galus. It's not enough tears. Maybe, Rabbanu Shalom, we're just doing the best we can with all the challenges of the Umos HaOlam. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Just come back to us, God. We'll come back to you. Chadei Shemenu Kekedem. And if Jeremiah did not say it, we could not say it. Ki ima'os me'astanu. Katzavta aleinu ad ma'or. Even if you have raged against us and utterly rejected us, isn't it enough? Tafshin Pei Aleph, 2021, 1,950 years after the Korban. Isn't it enough? Ki ma'os me'astanu. Not enough Korbanos? Katzavta aleinu ad ma'or. You have certainly raged sufficiently. Because throughout the millennia, we are blessed, God, who is Ozer Yisrael b'Gvura. When they want us to live like a goy, v'yamarich b'echor. We know we must die like a Jew. But when they want us to die like a Jew, we fight for life, for every moment of life, even if sometimes it entails living, unfortunately, like a goy. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva Hadesh Yameinu Kekedem. Should be zochet to the Bias Kol Tzedek immediately and in our days with Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And Alavai, we should meet for the next year in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. Habenuya, may the neshama of Perel Bas Yosef, Allah HaShalom, merit an aliyah on the source of the Torah that we share today. Thank you, everybody, B'soros Tovus.